Well, good morning. Hope you had a decent amount of rest. One of the things about having kids is it doesn't matter when you go to sleep, they still get up at the same time. So our kids were up between 5 and 6 this morning. I understand it changes as they get older. At some point, you end up having to blast them out of bed at about noon. It's good to see you all. I hope you had your coffee. You ready to go? The other day, we were driving somewhere, and my 2-year-old daughter started singing from the car seat, "If you're happy and you know it, Starbucks, Starbucks." If you're happy and you know it, Starbucks, Starbucks. I'm not sure where she got that from. Seems to me like a pagan, hedonistic kind of philosophy. Well, this morning we're going to have a devotional time together before we have our God and I time. And I'd like to draw your attention to the handout that you received. There are two of these. The first is just Session 2, and the second one is entitled Session 2B. The Session 2B handout is the God and I time. Last night we talked about maintaining the unity that we enjoy and have in Jesus Christ. And we talked about the fact that in order to do that, in order to enjoy harmony and peace within our relationships, we've got to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we talked about some of the specific ways in which you do that. We had that handout on the back of that first handout last night, some vices that we have to put off, that we have to shed in order to enjoy harmony and peace in our relationships, and some things we've got to put on. This morning, what I'd like to do is talk about this progress. Colossians 3 tells us that we are being renewed into the image of God that is described in that passage. We're being renewed. It's a process. It's a gradual thing. And one of the ways that we put off the old man is through confession of those sins, those vices, in prayer to God. So that's the content of this morning's session. As you see, I mentioned last night that each of the titles comes from a great literary masterpiece. This one is Pilgrim's Progress, because we're all in progress. We're all being renewed. And the more we're renewed, the more we are being transformed, the more unity we will enjoy as the body of Christ. So perhaps there was one of those vices last night: anger, wrath, malice, evil speaking, lying, that stood out to you as something that you personally and individually struggle with. And so this morning I'm going to take one of those, the issue of lying or speaking falsehood, and use it as kind of a case example of how you take something like that to God in prayer through Christ and deal with that. Put it off. Put off the old man. So what does it look like to put off lying, for example? And a few years back, I wrote out a prayer for my daughter, who was struggling in this particular area, and I was trying to help her think scripturally about dealing with her sin. So what you've got here in the session handout is that prayer that I wrote out for her to read through, not so that she could, in a scripted way, just pray that back to God, but so she could learn to think how to pray, how to deal with her sin, how to approach God through Jesus Christ. And so we're going to work our way through this, and I'll give you the blanks to fill in, and this will become the model and the pattern for your God and I time prayer. What I'm hoping is that working through this morning will give you a pattern, a formula, a process by which you can take any one of these sin struggles that you might have. And we're all different, we're all struggling with different things, and God is working on all of us in different areas, and customize what we talk about here with your particular sin struggle. Okay, so let's begin here with number one. I think where we have to start is with the image of God. Okay, so number one here is, what is true about God? That's where we begin. And so I'll read the text of what I wrote out for my daughter, and then we'll talk a little bit about this section. I thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are truth. that everything true comes from you. I believe, Father, that when you speak to us, you always tell the truth. You either tell us what really did happen in the past or what will most certainly happen in the future. You never lie to us, ever, and that's why we can trust in you every moment of every day. So when it comes to dealing with our sin, we've got to start with the standard himself. We've got to start with who God is, his glory, his perfection. In this case, I'm dealing with lying, I'm dealing with falsehood, so I start with who God is, and I recognize that God is truth. He's always true. And what we want to be careful that we don't do is start comparing ourselves with one another, start comparing ourselves with other believers, and gauging the ethics of our behavior on the basis of what other people are doing. Okay, well, so-and-so does this, so maybe what I'm doing isn't so bad. Wrong standard, wrong source of evaluation. Start with God himself. What is true about God? Because that never changes. And evaluate yourself in light of who God is. Last night, again, we talked about the fact that God is in the process of remaking us. He's creating a whole new humanity, a whole new people. Okay, there was this original creation, and because of sin, it has fallen and is under the curse. And now God is in the process of restoring us into a new image, the Lord Jesus Christ. And what does that look like? This is the first point. What is true about God? And then secondly, number two here, what is true about me? What is true about me? And so I start, A, with what God already knows. What God already knows. So the prayer text here, Father, you know that my heart is full of deceit. You know that I lie to myself and that I lie to others. You know that I sometimes try to cover my sin, like pretending to take a nap when mommy opens our bedroom door. You know that I'm not always honest with my parents when they ask me questions. You know that I sometimes shift the blame to my sister. You know that I sometimes sneak around, that I put things in my backpack or I take things that I shouldn't, hoping that no one will notice. Okay, so you start with what God knows to be true about you. You're just brutally honest with him because he already knows. So here's the standard. Here's the blazing glory of God, his truthfulness, his immutable truthfulness. And I recognize that in light of that, I am full of deceit. I am full of falsehood. And I get real specific about that. Don't just talk to God in generalities. Be specific with him about the kinds of things that you're struggling with, because he already knows. You say, well, what would be the value of that? What would be the benefit of telling God something he already knows? Well, it takes humility to get on your knees and before God say, this is who I am. And B, what God must do in light of who I am and what I've done. So underneath this number two, what is true about me, we start with what God knows and then what God must do. And it's not very pretty, is it? I know from your word that all liars must be punished and that all liars will have their portion in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur. Revelation 21:8. I know I deserve to be punished by you. So here's who you are. Here's who I am in light of who you are. And this is what I deserve because you are just, because you are holy, because you are righteous. I deserve to be punished. So you have the standard, and then our failure, and then you have the punishment. But number three begins to transition us in our praying to hope, to the gospel itself, which is the remedy to our failure to live up to and meet the standards and perfections of God. So number three is what is true about Jesus Christ. I move from what is true about God to what is true about me to what is true about Jesus Christ. I thank you, kind Father, that you sent your son Jesus into this evil world to rescue liars like me from the lake of fire. So God takes the initiative and he sets out on a rescue plan to deliver us from who we are. I thank you that even though Jesus is the way, the truth, see, he is the new man. He is the new humanity. He's the prototype. He is truth himself. If you want to know what truthfulness looks like, in human flesh. You look at Jesus. He embodies it. He is the truth. He is the life. And yet he took in his body the punishment for lying that I deserved. So yes, I am these things. And I know what I deserve. But the gospel teaches me that Jesus took that upon himself. So it's kind of like if you think of, let me use my phone here as an example. Okay, this is Jesus, and there's no sin, therefore no reason for punishment. This is me, okay, and this is my sin, okay? And what God does is he takes my sin and he transfers it on to Jesus, okay, so that he pays the punishment for my sin, and I receive his righteousness, and I am justified, declared righteous in the sight of God because of what Jesus did. There's this transfer that takes place. And so in my prayer, I'm reveling in this, I'm rejoicing in this, I'm glorying in the fact that though I deserve this, Jesus took it for me. I thank you, next bullet, that because I have believed into Jesus, you have forgiven me all my sin, past, present, and future. So every lie I have ever spoken in the past and every lie I will ever speak in the future is covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And I thank you that because I'm united to Jesus Christ in his death, his burial, his resurrection, I can have victory today and throughout my life over a lying tongue. In other words, the hope is in the gospel. The hope is in Jesus Christ. Yes, God is truth, and I'm not, and I deserve to be punished, but the gospel teaches me that if I've believed into Jesus Christ, he's taken my sin upon himself. My sin has been dismissed, and now I have the power of Jesus' resurrection to live in truth today and to have victory over a lying tongue. And I thank you that in spite of my failure to always be truthful, because I'm united to Jesus Christ, I will one day be completely delivered from lying lips when I see him at his return and am conformed to his image. So right now I'm in the process of being renovated and remade. Someday at his appearing, it's all going to come to its completion. And I'm going to be a truth teller when I see him face to face. And I look forward to that great prospect. So I'm leaning heavily in faith on my union with Jesus Christ. I'm rejoicing in the fact that God has dismissed my sins on the basis of what Jesus Christ has done. So number four, how then should I respond to this? Okay, what is true about God? What is true about me? What is true about Jesus Christ? How should I respond now? Well, letter A, by devoting my life to God because of his mercies. Devoting my life to God because of his mercies. So, Father, because you have been so merciful and gracious to me and have not given me what I deserve, but instead have been so kind to give me so many good things in Jesus Christ, I want to live my life for you today. But that's the posture. That's the right spirit. Having worked through this process of recognizing who God is and what I'm like and what I deserve, and then recognizing that Jesus took that upon himself, and because of that, God dismisses our sins when we confess those sins. I give myself to God in this moment of prayer. I present to him, Romans 6, the members of my body as instruments of righteousness. So, Lord Jesus, take my lips today and use them to speak truth. I want to do this in response to all of your mercies. So I pray with thanksgiving, and I live out my Christian life from a posture of thanksgiving and gratitude, not just out of duty, not just, well, I know I failed, and I know you forgive me, and I know I shouldn't be doing this again, so Lord, you know, help me today. It's not that kind of spirit. It's the sense of being overwhelmed with God's mercies that drives me to say, I want to live for you today, and I present to you my hands and my eyes and my mouth, all the members of my body to be used for your kingdom and your glory, so that obedience springs from a great, grateful heart. Letter B. Another way to respond to the reality of the gospel and what Jesus Christ has done is to desire that he would be praised. by desiring that Jesus Christ be praised. I want to point people to Jesus by the way I talk and by the way I live today. So it's not just about me, it's about His glory and His reputation. I want to speak truth today because I want people to see Jesus Christ. He's truth. So when I lie, not only am I damaging the body of Jesus Christ and disrupting the unity that we enjoy, but I'm also failing to portray the new man, the image of God, Jesus. I want Him to be praised. I want Him to be lifted up. I want people to know that I've been rescued. And part of my salvation testimony is being progressively delivered from these sorts of sins. And see, another way to respond is by continuing to confess my sin before God. Continuing to confess my sin before God. As 1 John 1:9 says. So I confess that I am not always truthful and that I need you to keep forgiving me and keep cleansing up my sinful heart. As 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We need every hour of every day a fresh application of the blood of Jesus Christ. Our standing before God has been settled. It's secure, but I need God to apply the blood and cleanse my heart in this moment. And the emphasis here is really on my heart. It's that God would cleanse my heart, that He would remake my heart, not just change, you know, things externally. Not external reformation, but internal renovation. Lord, deal with my heart. Deal with the root problem. There's bad fruit. In this case, there's a lying tongue because there's a lying heart. So God, be merciful to me and cleanse me once again and beg God to do work at the heart level. Now, as you do this, letter D, it's important that you remain secure in God's love. Okay? D, by remaining secure in God's love. I know that if I tell a lie today, it doesn't mean that I'm no longer your child. I know if I sin today, it doesn't mean that you love me any less. And I also know that if I were to tell the truth all day long, you wouldn't love me any more than you do right now. Your love for me, your acceptance of me, isn't based on whether I'm good or bad. Your love and acceptance are based on the goodness of Jesus, your Son. So there's this temptation when you're confessing sin and dealing with sin to just kind of plummet into despair. You know, here's God in His perfection. Here am I in my imperfections and my sinful failures, and just kind of spiral downward into despair and wonder if God loves you anymore. Well, God didn't accept you in the first place on the basis of your performance. God accepted you on the basis of the work of Christ, and He continues to accept you on the basis of the work of Christ. When you are in Him, you are accepted in the Beloved. And God receives you not because you're a truth teller, and He doesn't reject you because you're a liar. He receives you in Jesus Christ. And so if I were to have a perfect day, it wouldn't change God's immutable, unconditional love for me in terms of my standing before Him. Romans chapter 8 teaches us that there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. There's no death sentence. I deserve to be cast into a lake of fire for my lying. But there is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. And so I come to God through Christ. He's my access. He's my key. He's the gate pass. I come to God in Jesus Christ. So remain secure in God's love. One of the other ways that I respond to these truths is by desiring not to make God sorrowful. By desiring not to make God sorrowful. And this is important in light of what we just talked about. Yes, I'm secure in God's love, but that doesn't mean that my sin doesn't matter. Here's the text of the prayer. I do know that my sin matters and that when I sin, it hurts you deeply and disappoints you greatly. I know that when I tell a lie, it makes you sad because you sent your Son Jesus to the cross to rescue me from sins like that. It makes you sad because you didn't create us to be liars. You didn't create our mouths to speak falsehood. So I'm secure in God's love. God accepts me on the basis of Jesus Christ and his goodness, but I don't want to make God sorrowful. And it's possible to do that. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Don't make him sorrowful. Avoid taking advantage of God's grace, taking advantage of this reception that we enjoy through Christ, and saying that it doesn't matter how I live. The Bible denies that mentality. It does matter. But it's important to have the right motivation. Sin is not inconsequential. F, because of that, one of the ways that I respond is by turning away from my sin. Okay? I'm secure in God's love, but I recognize that my sin is not inconsequential, and I don't want to do this anymore because it's inconsistent with who God has created me to be. It's inconsistent with the character of Jesus Christ, and so I turn away from it. I repent. I don't want to tell lies anymore. I don't want to act like I don't care what Jesus did for me. No, I want to be like Jesus, a truth teller. I want to be remade into the image of God. I want whatever I say or do to be the truth, what really happened. And I want my family and I want my friends to be able to trust me like I can trust you. I mean, imagine if God wasn't a truth teller. I want my life to be a sacrifice that is pleasing to you. So I turn away from my sin. So the more I revel in God's mercies, the more I want God to accomplish in me the purpose for which he saved me, Titus chapter 2, to be zealous of good works, to be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. And I want to enjoy all the good things that God has in store for his people, for his children. So it's like, as a parent, when my children sin, the fact that they've sinned doesn't make them no longer my children. They're still my children, and I still love them. But that sin disrupts the enjoyment of the fellowship that we have. It does disrupt. And so it has to be dealt with. And when it's dealt with, my greatest desire, my heart, my posture toward my children is to do good for them, to reward them, to give them blessing and not punishment. And that's God's heart as well. So I turn from my sin to enjoy a Psalm 1 experience. And then letter G, by seeking God's help. By seeking God's help. I need your help. I need your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit who lives inside me to help me be a young lady who is known as being honest and true. So at this point in your prayer, avoid the temptation to simply try to do better on your own, to resolve, you know what, I'm not going to do this anymore. Okay, that kind of self-motivated, fleshly driven resolution is going to fail. Okay, God has given you his Holy Spirit if you're a believer, and it's the Holy Spirit, if we will yield to him in that moment of prayer and say, I give myself to you, it's the Holy Spirit that will apply the resurrection power of Jesus in you to be a truth teller. So in that moment, yield to the Spirit of God, walk in the Spirit, be filled with the Spirit, and understand that it's God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So seek God's help. And then lastly, letter H, use the sword of the Spirit in the battle. Use the sword of the Spirit in the battle. Help me whenever someone asks me a question and I'm tempted to lie. Okay, in that moment, when there is this temptation, strong urge to tell something that isn't true. You know, you're online and you're going to make a comment and you're tempted to exaggerate, you're tempted to distort the truth, you're tempted to say something that you haven't verified or checked out. In that moment, help me to look to you in prayer, to cry out to you in my heart, and use your words from the Bible to have victory in telling the truth. So, being filled with the Spirit in Ephesians is equivalent with letting the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in Colossians chapter 3. To be filled with the Spirit is to let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, to have a rich, welcoming dwelling. The Spirit of God works through the Word of God. So fill your mind and heart with the Word of God. And so I've given here an example, number 5, of a memory verse that is pertaining to this issue of lying. Ephesians 4:25. Having put away lying, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for you are members one of another. See, there again, you have this idea of we're members one of another. That's why lying is disruptive. Falsehood is disruptive to the unity that we enjoy. So put several short daggers within arm's reach so that you can access those in the moment of battle and enjoy the Spirit's power through those words. Find passages that relate to your particular struggle. Relate theological themes or attributes of God to your problem. And take our Lord Jesus' example very seriously. When he was tempted in the wilderness during those 40 days, in each case, when the tempter came to him, when Satan came to him, Jesus said, "It is written." And he fended off the devil with the word of God, the scriptures. So here is an example. Okay, we're being renewed, and in the process of being renewed, we're confessing our sins to God. And we begin by what is true about him. So as you go to your God and I time, I would encourage you to think about something that you're wrestling with right now. And think about how that thing is the antithesis or the opposite of who God is. Start with who God is. So let's say I'm having a hard time being kind. And I've just got this ill will toward somebody that I know. Okay, we'll start with the fact that God is kind. He is kindly disposed toward people. Okay, start with who God is. And then, what is true about me in light of who God is? But then, make sure you move to that third point. What is true about Jesus Christ and the gospel? And then, how should I respond in these various ways? So, if you look at session 2B handout here, the God and I time, handout. What I tried to do here is keep the basic structure of what we just discussed, but allow it to be customizable to your particular besetting sin or struggle. So I would suggest during this time that you consider going back to Colossians 3, look at those lists of virtues and vices. Ask yourself if there isn't one of those that is a particular need in your life, or you may just be aware of something already that you need to deal with, and take that to God in prayer following this procedure. And I've tried to remove the specifics of the prayer related to lying so that you could customize this and adapt it to any particular sin struggle. But rejoice as you do in the gospel of Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of sin that comes to us through him. Rejoice in your secure standing, but endeavor and be motivated to turn away from that sin, to not make God sorrowful, to employ the Spirit of God and the Word of God to enjoy victory today so that we all look like this new humanity and we enjoy all the fruit of that in our relationships.